Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Peace and blessings, love and light, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I am a minister, spiritual life coach, author, and founder of Redefining You LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. So if you are new to the How Now podcast, welcome to the show. We are in season 3 and going strong as we are going into the last quarter of this year, and we'll be going into season 4. So make sure that you go over to my website, www.hownowpodcast.com. Select your favorite podcast platform and be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe. You can also scroll to the bottom of the page and you'll see the banner for this week's show. And if you click on that banner, it will take you to the How Now YouTube channel, where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe there as well. And make sure that you hit that notification bell so that you know what is happening in the now. And again, that is www.hownowpodcast.com. So let's get into tonight's show, where we are going to be talking about manifesting miracle makers. Okay, we are getting into this last and final quarter of 2023. And so people are starting to gear up. What are some things that they need to do? What are some missteps? What are some things that they're doing to prepare as they go into this last quarter of 2023 and then into what the new year is going to look like for them? And so we really want to talk about identifying some internal roadblocks, talking about gaining some clarity, and really just taking a look at where we are and where we need to go. And to help me to go through the weeds is my beautiful guest who is joining me tonight. And of course, as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have her to introduce herself at this time. Right?
Hello, Kim. Thank you so much for the invitation. I am excited to be a part of the How Now family officially now. I am Cassandra Terry, and I am your Manifesting Miracle Maker. I have a podcast, some books, all kinds of stuff going on that I'm sure we'll get into. But the important thing is that I'm a life coach that focuses on mindset. I believe that the voice within wins. And by that, I mean that inner voice, the us connecting to that inner voice and really understanding our internal messaging will change the trajectory of our lives faster than anything external ever could. So when I talk about manifesting miracle maker, that's where I'm coming from, the inner work to really connect and get to know yourself and do the work to move forward and have the life that you desire.
Absolutely. And that's a wonderful thing. I love that. I love that name, Manifesting Miracle Makers. That is M3, right?
M3. Yes.
I absolutely love that. And that's what it's about. It's about making sure that, you know, we are focusing in on mindset. And I think that that's something that is huge, especially, you know, I always speak from the perspective of, you know, when the pandemic hit, because there were so many things going on, and then all of a sudden the world stopped for a moment. And people have had to sit with themselves and have had to really take a hard look at where they are and where they're wanting to go. And so, you know, we've been hearing a lot of buzzwords. We've been hearing a lot about self-care and positive self-talk. And we've been hearing a lot about mindset and manifesting and things of those natures. So, you know, that's kind of where people are. And there are still some people who are kind of like, I'm not quite there yet. Right. So before we dive into that, let's talk a little bit about, you know, where you were prior to the pandemic and you know, what you were doing then and then afterwards.
Okay. So prior to the pandemic, I was focused on the 9-to-5 career. I've been in the IT space and cloud computing, SaaS security compliance for many, many years. And so that's what I've been doing as a senior manager for an IT company. And I love that space because there's not very many people there that look like me. So that's what I've done. It's a stressful space, but it's a space that I love because it allows me to open up opportunities and to show day in and day out that people that look like me belong in that space. And so that's what I was doing besides, and I'm married. Me and my husband are about to celebrate our 24th anniversary later this month, 24 years. We've got kids and grandkids, and so being involved in their lives was what our life was all about. So work hard, play hard kind of people. And we've always had our own stuff going on. We believe in not just depending on a paycheck for your livelihood. So we've had some investment properties and things like that that we were involved in. So we were busy. And then the pandemic hit. So things changed. Things changed at that point. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I can imagine. So, I mean, it's just like you said, everybody is, you have a plan, or you think that you have a plan, and you think that everything is going along the way that, life was lifing,
Life is
And
lifing.
I think that when the pandemic hit, when things had to slow down, people were really kind of like, do I really like where I am?
Right.
Is this really going to be a good space? Especially, I think about like the hospitality industry. You never think a restaurant is going to close, because people are always going to be eating. People
Right.
are always going to need food, and people couldn't go to restaurants and things like that. And you were like, what in the world is going on? So people really had to start looking into, what's my plan B? Because for
Right.
some people, plan A was the only plan they had.
Exactly.
This is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. And what happens when a monkey wrench gets put in that? Then you're like, uh-oh. So I love that you said that you and your husband both, were doing other things, because you were not just relying on that paycheck. And that doesn't become a reality till things like this happen. And for some people, it doesn't happen in their lifetime.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, here we are,
Here we
March
are.
2020, and it's like, now what?
World
And so,
stopped. The world stopped.
yeah. And so then, like you said, things took a little turn. And so, how did you start going into the Manifesting Miracle Makers? And was that a product of the pandemic, or was that
It
something that you
was
were kind of doing in the background?
absolutely a product of the pandemic. I in IT was one of those non-essential essential workers. We can't do anything without our computer systems. It's just the way the world is built now. Everything that we do has some sort of a connection to it. So we were not able to not work like a lot of people are told not to work. And the fortunate thing about our careers is as long as we've got a computer and an internet connection, we can really work from anywhere. So we continued to work the entire time, but my whole family came home, including a grandson who was starting kindergarten. And kindergarten started remotely, and I was the only one who could really help him. So he did his kindergarten year on his Zooms while Granny was next to him on her computer doing her job. We did that for, basically for his whole year. But I don't know, something started to stir, and I started to feel like there was more. And I wanted more, but I really didn't know exactly what that was. And my husband and I were on our way to on vacation, going to one of our properties. We have one that's on the water that we Airbnb, but we vacation there ourselves as often as we can. And so we were going for some R&R right after Christmas, because in Texas it's still warm. And so we were going down to the water, and he was driving, and there's just something about the being on the road and the tires spinning and the quiet of that space. My brain just relaxes in a way that it doesn't do most times. And I started to have, Kim, what I call my divine downloads. I just start, all these ideas started to come. And the first thing that I saw was have a vision board party January 1st at noon. I'd never hosted a vision board party. I don't think I had really been to one, but I knew what they were, and I had been to something kind of similar. And so I thought, that sounds like fun, but nobody is going to want to do a vision board party January 1st at noon because they're probably just getting up and getting ready to eat their black eyed peas and do all the
That's
stuff that we do after being up all night bringing in the year. But it was such a strong directive. It was no, it's going to be on January 1st at noon. Who's supposed to be there will be there. And I started to see faces of women in my life. And so it became clear as to who I should invite. And they were there. And it was the most profound engagement that I had been a part of. Women were crying. They were pouring out their hearts about their hopes and their dreams, the desires they have for their life, their relationships, how they would like to see their lives unfold, what was working, what wasn't. So it was really intimate and personal and transparent and transformative. And we walked away with everybody having their vision boards. This was not that far post, everybody's still in masks.
Yes.
Most everybody was on virtual. And then I
Yeah.
had a daughter and a cousin-in-law here.
Right.
Everybody else was virtual. And it was an amazing event. And but I thought it was just an event, a one-time
Right.
thing. But people kept calling and asking, when's the next one? Hey, I told my friend about this, and would you do it for me and my girlfriends? And so it sort of took off and had a life of its own. And every time I would do one, I would write the same messages to the group that had booked me. And I would say, it's not a craft project. It's not just girlfriends hanging out. You have to have some clarity before you show up about the desires of your heart. And if you know what that is, then when we're going through these magazines and when we're putting things on your board, it's a representation. Those things represent the desires of your heart. So before you show up, get clear about that. And I've said it so many times to so many different people that I said, I should just write this up. I should just publish it. And somebody said, well, just do it on Amazon, make it something that was available. So my first workbook became available on Amazon as a result of
Love
that.
it.
And then I started to blog. And then people said, I really like your things, but I'd like to hear it in my car. So I learned how to do the recordings, and just one thing kept leading to the other. And that vision board party turned into an entire enterprise around mindset and goal setting and clarity on what your desires are. And almost 2 years later, here we are. It's still going, and it's just so
Yeah.
much more than what I could have ever have imagined.
Oh my goodness. You know what I love about what you're sharing is that it's all about obedience.
Yes, ma'am.
All I can imagine is what if you were not obedient to what you were told to do?
Exactly.
Where would you be?
Exactly.
How many people would have missed that opportunity? You know, they talk about that all the time. Are you going to take all of your aspirations and dreams and stuff to your grave, or are you going to allow others who are waiting for you to do this to do it?
Right.
You're part of the plan. You know,
Exactly.
sometimes we feel like we have to see things to fruition. We have to be the person that plants the seed, then we have to be the one to water it, then we have to be the one to shine light on, then we have to be the one to, feed and do all these other things. We have to see it from the beginning to the end. And sometimes we're just somewhere in the middle. And we
Right.
don't, and we're not obedient to the call, then what winds up happening is there's like a little dotted line. There's a space that's left. People fall into that gap, and they some of them don't find their way out of it.
Right.
And so it's so important, you know. And like I said, as you're sharing, I'm just thinking, look at that obedience.
Yeah.
She continued. She answered the call.
Right.
People asked, when are you doing it again? You didn't say, no, I'm not doing this again. This was just a one-shot deal, you know.
Right.
Sorry, you missed it. Sorry, you know, maybe another time. You were just like, hey, wait a minute now. They're on to something. And so we
Yeah.
really have to listen to that small, still voice sometimes that
Yes.
speaks to us that says, hey, you know, we need to, you need to do something with this. And
Yes.
how many of us sit on a gold
Our
mine?
gifting,
Or
our
how many
gifting.
of us sit there, just like you said, on that gift and don't allow it to manifest itself because we're in our own way. You
Exactly.
know, so I love that you say that. I love that you talk about that because it's so important that we, we listen. And
Yeah.
that is so important that we move. And sometimes we get stuck. We get stuck. And so, like you said, 2 years writing and conducting events and doing things of that nation and of that nature. And it just go from there.
Right. One bit of obedience has taken me places. Like now I'm booked as a public speaker. I've had the opportunity to do those vision boards even at my career. They've booked me to do another one in December. So I do them at my job all the time for groups and helping those groups get aligned and figure out what it is that they're trying to accomplish as individuals and as a group. There's just been, I think, you know, I go live every day, 5 days a week.
Yes.
Talking
Yes.
about mindset and goal settings and different things. And what has come out of that has just been mind-blowing. And so what I like to say to people all the time is just, you know, take that first step, because progress over perfection. If I had tried to wait until I had all these things lined up, I'd still be waiting, because I didn't even know what all was coming. If I was looking for some perfect moment to jump in, I'd still be waiting. And I say on my lives almost every day that we are the answer to somebody's prayers. Yeah. Somebody needs to know that this little small town girl from a place in Texas that most of the world has never heard of has come through poverty, lack, not having enough of this and that, and all the things that I've struggled. Somebody is just going into the seasons that I've come through. So if I'm willing to share my story, they can see that there's life on the other side and joy on the other side, the ability to thrive on the other side. So that's why it's so important what you're doing, giving people a platform to share their story. We don't know who all is going to be reached by all the different folks that show up here. Right. How now?
Right.
How? Somebody's asking right now how they're going to get right. through what it is they're going through right now. And that's hearing right. a part of my story, seeing you and your greatness, hearing your other guests, their lives are being changed because they're Absolutely. Connecting to somebody and understanding that where they are right now is not the end of the story. Somebody's right. walked that walk and they can see that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes that's right. all we need is just a little bit of light
just
to keep going. And I really believe that you're providing that light, Kim.
Well, I believe you are doing that as well. And just like you said, I love that you say progress over perfection, because that's it. If you are a person, I used to call myself a closet perfectionist. I would not do anything until it was perfect. It had to be everything.
Oh, my name's
right.
gonna be on it. It's gotta be right.
Oh yes, because the lighting, everything has to be right. There can't be a sound, there can't be a squeak, nothing can happen. Everything has to be perfect. And if I was waiting for that, I would not be, you know, going into my fifth year as a minister, I would not be doing any of the things that I'm doing. This platform, like you said, would not exist
right.
if I was waiting for the perfect time. It was just like, okay, do it. Well, I don't know how to do it. And I don't know how to do it. My podcast may not look like anybody else's.
Right.
Okay, you have some that have the beautiful banners and things going across the screen, all kinds of fancy things. I have no idea how to do that. My husband works in IT as well, or he was laid off during the pandemic, but he worked in IT as well, and he was a mm-hmm. help desk support and did
yes.
all kinds of things. And I was like, okay, honey, help me. And he was like, oh, well, I know how to do some of that, not some of that. Yep, that was not his wheelhouse.
Right.
And so, you know, but we still have to be able to listen to that voice. We still have to be able to not worry about the perfect time or season to do it. It's just stepping out. And that is definitely a faith walk.
It's a faith
that
walk.
That is not something that everybody is ready to do.
Right.
But we have to start, like you said, changing our mindset.
Yes.
What do we need to do differently? If we don't know how to do something, we are in the age of information. You know,
yes.
we are in the age of technology. There are so many things that are open to us now. Everything goes beyond. I tell people, everything goes beyond the card catalog now. You
right.
know, we used to be contained to the area and the environment that we are in. And now we can be international.
Right.
We can touch people in all corners of this earth. And do we see that opportunity?
Right.
And are we grasping that opportunity? And for some, including myself at one point, it was like, that's just way too much world. And that's just too many people that are going to hear me. And if I make a mistake, it's not going to just be in my town. It's going to be internationally.
Gonna be
and everybody's going to see that. I mean, right. Everybody's going to see. So everybody's going to know I'm a failure.
A
entire world.
Right.
Right. And so for some people, it's just like, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. That just sounds like a bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we have to, like you said, change our mindset and get to that point where we're just saying, okay, there's the progress over perfection.
Right.
And we have to start looking at our ancestors and start looking at those who blazed the trails before
exactly.
us. I'm sure they felt the same way. They had no support. They're doing something new. People are like, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous. Nobody's ever heard of that.
Right.
But they thought to take a step and to keep going anyway. And look
When
where
they
they are
weren't
now.
even considered a whole person.
Correct.
I talk about that all the time. We stand on the shoulders of greatness. We are in resilience and the ability to get stuff done, to do a whole lot with very little. That's in our DNA.
Yes.
And if I get out of my own way, when I think about, nobody's going to cut my foot off if I don't go by the name that they want me to call. Nobody's going to whip me if I don't cut
Right.
enough in the fit. We come
Right.
from such savage beginnings, and
Yes.
here we stand, able to have conversations like this. Two black females,
Yes.
and the world is at our fingertips. I had my on my call this morning. There was somebody from Ghana. There were people from the UK. There were people from Nigeria. So literally,
Yes.
when you say we're touching an international audience, even
That's
when we
right.
don't realize it, it's happening. And
Yeah.
we're not that far removed from the
No.
history books, even though they're trying to rewrite them, we're not that far removed from that.
That's
And
right.
so I take strength and I take pride in knowing where I'm coming from. And so me
Right.
having a bad day in light of what my ancestors overcome for me to even be here, I'm
That's
like,
right.
okay, there's nothing that I really can't do if I make up, if I decide and commit to doing it, there's nothing that we really can't do.
Yes,
That's our lineage.
yes, it is. And
I've
I
heard
love that
people
you
say
said
we're
that.
our ancestors' wildest dreams. I'm like, no, we're not. They couldn't even dream this. Those folks didn't know if it was okay for them to eat. They were told where they could drink and where they had to sit. We are so far beyond their wildest dreams.
Right.
So far beyond. And
Right.
so there's just nothing for us to fear. We just have to
Right.
step outside of our own selves and realize that the gifting that is in us is not for us. So shame on us if we keep it hidden because
That's right.
somebody's waiting on it. Somebody needs it. And when you start coming from that perspective, instead of thinking about, oh, I may stumble, I may not do this quite right, you get out of your own way and realize and really believe that somebody's waiting for what you have to say, it helps you to have the courage to keep moving. So coming
That's
from
it.
that place of service will help you.
Absolutely. And just like you're saying, you know, when we make mistakes and people see that, some people draw strength from that because they're like, look, you think about the young lady, what was that, Shikari, the runner.
Yes.
People would say, oh my goodness, you know, what is she going, you know, she's messed up. And look at how she's come back.
Exactly.
And she's shown resilience. And that's
Exactly.
going to be in history books. You know, the one thing that I think about, especially when I think about our lineage, we storytellers.
Yes.
We were storytellers. Our stories were told through, you know, in tribes, and they were told by the elders.
Yes.
What happened when they passed on? Were their stories, you know, told in the same manner in which they gave it? What they had that first account. Now you have people who were given the second account. When they started passing away, was that story told the way it actually was?
Right.
Was it documented anywhere?
Right.
We are in a special place because we have recordings and videos and audios, tape and footage that will stand the
Live
test of
on,
time. In
long
some
be my
case, in
desk.
some way, form, or fashion, somebody is going to be able to access this and say, this is what was going on. And not only hear it and imagine what it was like, they'll be able to see it
See it exactly.
and hear it from the person that actually said it,
Exactly.
you know. So it's a special place that we're in,
It
and
really
all of
is.
these things that we're doing, audio and video and visual, we're giving people a living book.
Yeah.
It's a living book. Yes, we still want things to be done in writing. You know, I am a big person. I have a whole library. If I was to turn this camera around, I have a shelves and upon shelves of books because I love the paper. I love the ink. All of that is beautiful and wonderful to have as well. But there are so many ways in which we can tell our stories now and bring them to those who will be here long and far beyond our years. And so I think it's so important, like you said, that we take that step, that we take the step and say, okay, what are we doing to add value to not only our lives, but the lives of others? And I think about all the beautiful things that you are doing and all of the wonderful, programs that you are providing and the talks that you are doing, because when we do that, and I know this as a trainer myself, and even when I'm training and sharing information or sharing a sermon or anything of that nature, I'm speaking over myself too.
Exactly.
So that's the beauty. I love that part as well, because when we do it repeatedly, not only are we're hearing it, and it's resonating with us.
I tell people that
So
all the time.
there's
You
something.
guys have the front row seat to my evolution, to my growth, because I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm really not. I'm a part of the choir. And so as I'm figuring this out and as I'm going through, I'm just talking to you guys about it and you're witnessing it firsthand. But I have my shirt, Speak Life. I tell people that all the time. Our words have power. We are so powerful because of who we're connected to and what's happening through us. And so I had to learn the power of words. And I've had a couple people help me with that, because I was one of those people who was just self-effacing. I would say negative stuff about myself almost to beat you to the punch. And I didn't realize that I had developed that defense mechanism until a few years ago when I was with one of my cousins. And he said, "Why'd you say that? That doesn't sound like you at all. I haven't experienced you that way at all." And the first time I kind of laughed it off and didn't think. And by the time he did that about three times in the same night, it really clicked in. He held up a mirror so beautifully for me. He didn't scold me. He wasn't rude. But he held that mirror up so I could see what I was doing and the things that I was speaking about myself and how unflattering they were. And that helped me to go in and to connect and to hear my own inner voice and start to do the work to turn that critic into an advocate, because I have to be my own cheerleader. I have to be. I have to be able to advocate for myself, and I need to feel good about who I am when the band's not playing and the crowd's not cheering, because that's not always there. It's great when you get accolades, but you can't depend on them. You need to know who you are and whose you are in your own skin, at your worst, first thing in the morning when you haven't even brushed your teeth yet.
That's right.
That raw me, I love that girl. Morning breath and all. We got work to do to get her polished up and ready for the world. But I love her right there. And when you get to that relationship with self, there is nothing that can happen externally that you can't handle. Nothing.
That's right. That's right. I absolutely love that. And I wrote it down. You see, I was sharing with Cassandra offline that, and I've said it before, and some of you have heard me say that I am memory resistant. I can't remember things. I just can't. And so I always have a piece of paper, pen, some type of thing on my phone. I have a little, and I have a little pen that's on mine. Oh yes. I have to write things down.
Yeah,
because I can't remember all the time. If I don't remember, then it didn't happen. And you know, if I don't write it down, it didn't happen. So I have to write it down. And I love that you said critic, advocate.
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That is powerful. Because yes, we can be our worst critic. And yes, we do have to learn to advocate for ourselves, not just in, with regards to, who we are as an individual, but also for our health, for that mental, spiritual, and physical.
Yes.
We have to be able to advocate for ourselves. When I think about it on the spiritual realm, I think about it, okay, how am I advocating? Why do I believe what I believe?
Mm-hmm.
And if I do, if someone asks me about what I believe, do I have the answer?
Right.
Even as a minister, I'm still working on that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the Bible from cover to cover. And if they ask me about scripture, I'm going to have to go in here and I'm going to have to Google it and I'll find it. Praise God for the Bible app. Because sometimes the things just don't, they're in my mind, they're in my heart, you know them, but sometimes they don't come to you as readily,
mm-hmm.
And again, I will tell people, I'm all about toolboxes. What are we doing? How are we preparing ourselves for when things happen and when things occur? How are we best advocating for ourselves?
Yes.
Spiritually, mentally, and physically.
Right.
How do we advocate? And I absolutely love that you say that, because we are our worst critics. And that's where, when you talk about mindset and you talk about changing our mindset, just the fact that you were saying that you had to be receptive to your cousin saying things. You didn't say, "Oh, forget you. Don't say that. I don't believe you."
Right.
Whatever. Could have cast what he said aside. But when he said something, you were just like, "Now, wait a minute. Now it takes a powerful person to be able to take self-criticism or to take criticism at all from somebody else. And even when they're presenting it in a loving way, you know, we have to be able to say, okay, now, wait a minute. Now, you know, sometimes the common denominator is me.
It's
so
me.
now I have to look and see and say, wait a minute, now this is happening. And every time this happened, I'm noticing the common denominator is me. So now, like you said, I need to take that mirror and I need to look back at me. And I think that's what happened with a lot of people, even with the pandemic. They had to sit with themselves. They had to look at themselves in the mirror. And there were a lot of people didn't like what they saw.
Right.
And you have to get to that place. And until you get to that place of acknowledgement,
yeah,
that's key. Until you get to that place of acknowledgement to be able to say, all right, maybe it's me, maybe something is wrong, you cannot begin the healing process.
Exactly.
Because you have not acknowledged that anything is wrong.
No, exactly.
You're just saying, you know, this is like, you know, I'm just like that because, you know, that's how I am. What does that mean?
Right.
When people say that, that's just how I am. Like that gives you permission to continue to do the things that you're doing.
Right.
That are not benefiting you or anybody else,
or anybody
but just
else.
Because, you know, you have people who are taking medication. Well, I'm taking this medication because I have this problem and that's my reason. That's why I act like this, because I have this, that, and the third. Why are we labeling ourselves? Why are we
Right.
putting ourselves in a box?
Yep.
You know? So
exactly.
that's huge. That is huge. You know, how do we begin to manifest? How do we begin, like you said, manifest that those miracle makers? How do we create miracles in our lives? How do we do that? You said a maker insinuates that something is being created.
Yes.
Talk
Yes.
to me about it. Talk to me about
Exactly.
it.
Exactly. And I believe that we create our reality. So that's where the maker comes in. We're manifesting all the time, whether we realize it or not. We are magnetic beings. We are drawing energy to us based on what we're releasing. So I talk to people about their mindset all the time and about what you say, because you're going to draw that.
Right.
If you're focused on problems, because life is going to keep happening. Life is will life. It's going to
Yes,
happen.
it is.
And even if you're in the best mindset, even if you're so close to God that you know what cologne he's wearing, you still will have problems. Things are going to happen. So
Right.
I'm not saying we live in this fantasy world where our mind, we're vibrating so high that only goodness and mercy follows us, that there's nothing else. Bad stuff happens to everybody. I'm talking about where does your head go when those things happen? Are you so focused on the problem at hand that's all you can see is the problem? When you can take your eye off the problem and realize that as a maker, as a creative, that you can start to focus on the solution, then you can change something. You're not just stuck. You're not just in a place of overwhelm. You can barely get out of bed because all you see around you are problems. If you just, the things around you may not change, but if you shift your mindset just a little bit and go from problem to solution,
right,
then you'll start doing things that can affect the change and make a different existence for yourself. I was talking about this on my live this morning. If you imagine going and buying a brand new shiny red car, you pick that particular car because it has a little uniqueness about it and you weren't going to be on the road with everybody else in the same car. As soon as you leave the parking lot, as soon as you leave the dealership, you're going to see that car and you're going to
everywhere.
keep seeing it. There are not more red cars on the road. You're just more aware of that car because
right.
you just purchased it. You've brought it into your awareness. So now you see it every time it goes by. When it went by before, you didn't really notice it. It wasn't front of mind. So
Right.
the exterior didn't change. Your mindset changed. So when we know we have that kind of power, we get to decide what we focus on.
Yes.
Are we focusing on our problems or are we focusing on solutions? If you're focusing on solutions, you turn your creativity on and you get to a place to where you can generate a different existence for yourself. But if all you see is problems, that's all you're going to see are more problems. So that manifestation, you can control the things that you're bringing in much more than you believe. You can make the miracles in your life. Yes, it's that we have to have that vertical connection. We're not
Absolutely.
doing this all by ourselves,
Okay.
but we have free will. And part of our
Yes.
will is managing our mindset and determining where we're going to put that focus. So buy the red car and see what happens, and prove to yourself just how powerful your awareness is.
That's right. I love that. I love that. Decide what you focus on. I had to write that down too, because yes, it is a decision, like you said, free will. And when you do focus on those things, you know, it's important that we do that. And it brings to my mind, again, something else that I say as well. You know, it's all about how we respond and not how we react.
And not how we react. Yes,
We
I
have
say
to
that
learn
too.
to respond, because there are so many things that are happening that you say are going to happen continuously.
Right.
You know, you may overcome it one time and you may say, oh, that's never going to happen to me again. Okay.
Keep
As a person
living.
who is, keep on lifing. Yeah, keep on living, like you said, and life will keep on lifing. You know, never in my experience did I think I would be married four times, but I was. I'm married now. My husband is wonderful. But people are like, oh my goodness. Yeah. You don't know what can happen and how many times it can happen.
Right.
But it's how you react and respond to it.
Yeah.
Okay. In my instance, with regards to responding, I never saw my husband as a reflection of my ex-husband. My ex-husband. I didn't carry that baggage with me.
Right.
You know? And so that allowed me and kept me open to the possibility of love again.
Right.
You know, and so when we close the door or think that something happens and it's never going to happen again, like you said, keep on living. And then life's going to show you. It's going to say, oh, touche. You thought it wasn't going to happen again, but here it comes again.
There
But
it
how
is.
are you? How are you preparing yourself for that?
Right.
How are you preparing, and how are you going to respond? Are you
Yes.
going to react out of emotion, anger, frustration, or a myriad of other emotions? Or are you going to respond because you're saying, okay, I've been here before. And what did I do the last time? Or what can I, or who did I reach out to? Or what tools did I use to help me to overcome this? Because
Right.
sometimes we forget it. You know, when we're children, do you just fall one time? No, you fall a thousand times. You're gonna break a couple of bones. You're gonna have a couple of heartbreaks. Things happen repeatedly. But how are we preparing ourselves? Why are we acting like it's the first time it's ever happened?
Right. And my question to everybody is, why do we act as if we've never overcome an obstacle? We've never overcome hardship. And we've overcome things time and time and time again. And if we would just remember that, when the next thing shows up, you're like, okay, it may not be the exact same obstacle, but it's still an obstacle. It's still a
Yes.
thing that you have to overcome, and you have a history to prove to yourself that you're more than capable of doing just that, because you've overcome everything that has happened to date.
That's
Everything
right.
that's happened in your life, you
Still
have
here.
overcome it, and you've arrived at this day.
That's
So when
right.
something shows up tomorrow, you should be able to face it with strength and with
That's right.
confidence and with knowing that you have the ability to overcome it, because your history has already proved that. But instead, we focus on the fact that we've had the obstacles, and we
Right.
bring that as baggage, and we let that weigh us down. We never shift our eyes to see how we've overcome all those things and still showed up in all of our greatness today.
Today.
Every one of those things you've overcome, and you
Right.
drag the baggage, but not the victory.
That's
Bring the
right.
victory with you, because you've
That's it.
overcome all of those things. And that's your proof when your next obstacle shows up. You've got this. And that's the inner voice I'm talking about. That's that inner messaging. When you start to put that into play, then you can respond instead of react. Respond means you take a breath. You
That's
give
right.
yourself a beat. You inhale and
That's
you
right.
take a look at the situation, and then you show up in control as the best version of yourself. When we're acting out of emotions, that's the little girl from within. She does not have all the years of experience that you've accumulated. She
That's
doesn't
right.
have all the learning from all the things that you've already overcome. And when we let her in the driver's seat, we throw away a lifetime of learning that we could apply to that moment. So you just have to give yourself a moment and allow yourself to breathe and think, and then you respond. When you react like that, nine
That's
times
right.
out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, it's going to be emotional, and it is not going to be the representation of yourself that you'd like to see out there.
That's right. I love that. I absolutely love that. Because you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of, when you talk about baggage and things of that nature, you know, I'm like, no, I'm not about putting that backpack on my back. I said, if I'm gonna have anything on my back, it's gonna be a quiver that's gonna have the arrows in it that I need to be able to strike out
That's your victory.
and be able to, So like I said, no, it's gonna be that sword and that shield. Okay, it's going to be
There
that
you go.
breastplate of righteousness. It's going to
That
be all
whole
those
armor.
things. Okay, the full armor. Okay, okay, that's why I weigh so much because it's the armor of God that I'm carrying.
I'm carrying that armor.
Okay, that about tickled me. I said yes. I said that's why I weigh so much because I'm carrying the armor of God. I was like, oh. That cracked me up. But yes, that's what we have to do. We have to carry those.
Goodness.
We have to be victorious. We have to
Exactly.
walk in that victory, like you said. It just like your job, they're hiring you based on your experience and your advanced knowledge. They're not hiring you based on the mistakes that you made.
Right.
You
Exactly.
know, and when you say it's all about perspective, we have to, and like you said, that mindset. How are we changing our mindset that said we see things differently?
Yes.
And when I said that, it's just like, I mean, I didn't think about that. Does your resume list all of your mistakes, or does it list the things that you accomplished? It lists the things that you accomplished. You accomplished something. It's not a blank sheet of paper. You did
Right.
something. And it
Right.
wasn't the mistakes that you did. It was the victories. It was the things that you did well. And that's
Right.
how you're presenting yourself so that that way someone can find what you do appealing or be impressed by that and say, you know, I want that person on my team. Why can't we do that in our personal lives as well? What does
Exactly.
your personal resume look like?
Yes. There you go.
And it's not full of failures. It's full of things that you've done that well. What are the things that you say about yourself when you're dating and someone is courting you? Are you giving them a laundry list of all the mistakes that you've made in previous relationships? Are you
Right.
telling the things that are good about you?
Right.
Those are the kinds of the things that we need to do when we talk about changing our mindset. How are we
Exactly.
presenting ourselves? Another
Exactly.
thing that I say is, you know, when I think about us, we are each, you know, we're shards of glass. We may be broken glass. We may have pieces that are sharp that may cut and may have cut deep. But when we surround ourselves with love and that becomes the cement that goes around that, what a beautiful mosaic we
What a
are.
beautiful mosaic.
And it
Exactly.
is individual to each and every person. No two mosaics are the same.
Exactly.
And
I
then we're
love that.
reflecting the light that comes from us based on those experiences. And we hope to enlighten people that when they put it and shine up to light, that reflection is going to come up and it's going to show the beauty, you know, that we are. And so, you know,
I
all of
love
these.
that. I love that. And can you imagine how much our lives would improve immediately if we saw ourselves as that mosaic? But instead, we walk around and we're sharing each shard of glass. We won't even look at the mosaic, this shard, and here's how this happened, and this was so bad. And when you find yourself in that place, don't beat yourself up. Realize now the awareness has kicked in. That's something to celebrate, because when you're aware, you put yourself in the driver's seat and you have the ability to affect change. As long as you don't realize, like I did not realize that I had that negative self-talk until my cousin gently held that mirror up to my face. And in doing that, the awareness came. With awareness comes opportunity, and it also comes responsibility. At that point, it was my responsibility to do the work, to do something different. Otherwise, I have nobody to blame but myself if I was still stewing in that bad place.
That's that cliche. When you know better, do better.
Do better.
Okay. Because what do they say? The definition of insanity is when you keep on
Doing
doing
the
the same thing
same
over and
thing and
over
expecting a
again and
different
expecting a
result.
different result.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so unless you're walking around saying that you need to be in a straitjacket and you're insane, then I think you need to start changing your mindset, start thinking about what it is that you're doing and what you want the result to be. And I
Right.
think that's part of that forward thinking as well. What do you want the result to be? Think about
Exactly.
that even when you're having communications with people and interacting with people. You know, if I have a, if I'm having a disagreement with a significant other or with a friend, What do I want the result to be? Do I want it to be a knockdown, drag out fight just to say that I won and then damage the relationship and then wind up being mad and not speaking for a period of time because, you know, you upset me and you didn't agree with me? Or do I want to try to say, okay, can we agree to disagree? Can we have a conversation? What do I want the end result to be? I still want to be in love with this person, or I still want that person to be my friend. So let me think about what it is that I'm saying and how I'm responding so that that way I am going to meet that, you know, desire that I have. I want us to continue to love on each other. I don't want to go to sleep and snatch the sheets to one side. Don't touch me. I don't want that to be my existence. I want to be able to cuddle. And how am I going to do that if we're arguing and we're at odds and I've reacted and I've said things out of spite just for the sake of being right? Is it necessary for me to be right, or is it necessary for me to be heard and understood?
Right.
And does that require me to be nasty or rude, or does that require me to say, okay, hey, let's have a conversation. Let's break it down. This is how I'm feeling when you say this. This is what it does to me when you do that. You know, and if we're not willing to like you said, have that level of awareness, you know, we're shooting ourselves in the foot.
Exactly. And if we're not communicating those types of things, like the scenario you just gave, when you say that, it makes me feel this way. We expect people to read our minds. And we also expect people to respond the way we would have responded. So we know if somebody stepped on our big toe, this is how we would have reacted. So we're thinking that's how everybody's going to react. But if we don't actually stop and take the time to communicate, we're not doing the individual a service. We're not doing ourselves a service, and we're doing a disservice to the relationship, because the relationship does not have the opportunity to evolve into what it could be, because neither party is walking around with good data.
Right.
I don't know that I punched you. I wasn't trying to. And then you didn't tell me. So you're walking around wounded.
That's right.
And that wound starts to become resentment. And now all of a sudden we don't interact like we used to. Why didn't Kim call anymore? We used to hang out all the time. And I said something one day that hurt your feelings, and I didn't know it, and you didn't voice it. And now a whole relationship is flushed, and the conversation that could have saved it never happened. It's happened in marriages. It happened in families. It happens in relationships every day.
That's right. That's right. And that's unfortunate that it happens. Just like you said, yeah, it's all about, you know, the impact of what we say. You know, it's not just a matter of just saying, you know, oh, my bad. Sorry, I said that. Oh, I didn't. You know, what was the impact of your words? It's like you said, words are powerful.
Right.
You said something, you know, and it's intention over in impact. It wasn't your intention to hurt somebody's feelings, but what you said left a scar. It left a mark.
Right.
What are you going to do to you know, save that? What are you going to do so that the next time something happens, that person isn't feeling defensive or drawing back? Because I think you're going to do the same thing over again. So that, you know, those are things. Think about not what your intention was, but what the impact is on the person who you said it to.
Exactly.
So yeah. Oh my goodness. So all of these wonderful nuggets that we are dropping. I hope y'all are writing it down, because I was over here fast and furious sitting there writing, you know, and having my paper go, okay, turning pages and everything. Because there's so many, you know, things, or so many ways in which we can begin to heal.
Yeah.
So many ways in which we can acknowledge things and opportunities for us to reach out to others and to see that, okay, when I'm at a space or where I am, I understand what's going on, but I need help.
Right.
And that's where, you know, we can have an hour long discussion about pride.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Okay, because they don't say pride leads to destruction for nothing.
Right.
Because we get in our own way,
mm-hmm.
we acknowledge, but we don't stop and ask for the help. We just say, oh, well, can't Google everything. Sometimes you have to speak to a human being. You have to go beyond Siri or Alexa and ask a human being and say, okay, this is what's going on. I need help. And again, that goes under the umbrella of acknowledgement.
Right.
Again, I'm acknowledging that I have this situation that's going on. It is beyond my personal power and strength to be able to do this, and my understanding. I need.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, and so, like I said, I think that that's where we need to go. That's what's going to help build that resilience. That's what's going to help to create that better version of ourselves.
Yeah. When we
That's
ask
it.
for help, we are plugging into community. We are connecting with our support system. A good support system will cheer you on and help you be accountable for the things that you said you want and how you want to show up in the world. So when you have to know who that is. Everybody doesn't deserve your story.
That's
everybody
right.
can't everybody can't nourish your dreams. So be really aware of your real support system. Where can I go with my dream when it's in its infancy? It's just a little baby that I'm starting to figure out. Are they going to tell me I'm crazy? Are they going to tell me there's no way that that would work, you know, and talk me out of my dream before it has a chance to start to have any strength?
Right.
Or where do I go and I'm nourished and I'm supported and I'm believed in? Know where your support system is. Know where it is and plug into it. And don't be prideful. Don't be shameful. Don't feel like it's a bad thing to ask for help. We are designed to operate in community and to collaborate. And the world doesn't talk about that anymore. It always talks about me, 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 and how I can do my own thing and stand on my own 2 feet. Well, so can a three-year-old. A three-year-old can stand on their own 2 feet, but they're wobbly. And sometimes they just need to rush into somebody's arms to pick them up and give them a hug and tell them everything's okay. Sometimes they just need you to hold their hand and they can make those steps on their own. But they need. And even though as adults, we're still the same way. We need community, and we have to normalize that again and make it okay to ask for help and to plug in and even learn how to evaluate and assess who your community really is. Just because somebody has the same DNA as you doesn't necessarily mean that that's your community. They may be the ones who can't see your dream because they only know you at the way they've known you forever. And most of the times when people water your dreams down, it's because of their own fear, their own lack of vision. They're trying to protect you. They're not necessarily trying to hurt you, but their vision isn't big enough. But that's why you were given the dream. It's yours.
Right.
And you may be the only one that can see it until it is wobbling around and it's on shaky legs, but it's on legs now. So people go, oh, this may be something.
Right.
So your dream is your dream. So don't be discouraged when other people can't see what's been placed in you to bring forth.
I love that. Oh my goodness. I love that. And I love that analogy. Like you said, you can be a three-year-old and be standing on your own 2 feet. Doesn't mean you don't need help every now and then.
Right.
But think about that. That happens in our infancy and when we're young. But think about when we get older.
Exactly.
When we have to go back to relying on others to take care of us at that point.
Exactly.
Okay. Now I want the person that's going to know what to do with me to know. So, you know, now all of a sudden we want the person that's knowledgeable about our condition and about the help that we need. I don't want just anybody to be handling me when I get older and am not able to handle myself. I want somebody who is qualified or somebody who has taken the time to know me and to advocate for me and is tuned in and tapped into me so that way they're taking good care of me.
Right.
And we
the
need to
real
think of that.
System.
We have to think of that through our entire life. Just like we needed support and we needed a strong person when we were in our infancy. Think about when we're aging. We're going to need that same quality of care. So why not carry that throughout our lifetime? Always looking for people who are going to support, uplift, and encourage us.
Exactly.
You know, so I love what you said. That's a wonderful, wonderful analogy there.
Thank you.
Think about that. Yeah, we can stand on our feet. Yeah, we can stand on our feet when we're 80, but we're not standing or 90 or, you know, my grandmother was 105 when she passed away 2 years ago.
Wow.
She was still able to stand on her feet, but every now and then she had to get that little walker to hold her up.
Right.
You know, because she couldn't do it in and of her own power anymore.
Right.
So it goes back to what are the tools, you know, and you have provided some beautiful tools to put in our toolbox with regards to manifesting, with regards to mindset, with regards to having that wonderful support system and being able to, you know, make progress over perfection. And to listening to that voice within, so many wonderful and powerful tools that we can use that when we get to that place of uncertainty, that we can say, okay, I can reach and hit. This is where I need to go. This is what I need to do. This is how I need to handle it. So that, again, we're at that place where we're responding and not reacting to what's going on around us.
Yes.
And it's going to help us to COPE, and my acronym for COPE is Create Our Peaceful Existence.
Love
What
it.
are we doing to create our peaceful existence? We have to find ways and manifest ways to cope with what's going on around us, because that's
Right.
going to help to make us better versions of ourselves. So, oh my goodness. And like I said, we can go on and on and on. Okay. So we'll definitely have to do it again. That's all that
Hey.
means, because here in the How Now podcast, you can come back as many times as you want. Okay, because I always tell people what's happening now may not be what's happening 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 weeks, or 2 years from now. Something is always going on, and we'll have this platform, Lord willing, to be able to talk about what's happening in our now. So, number one, thank you so much for being here and talking about manifesting miracle makers, because that's what we're doing. We're manifesting, we're looking to, again, create that better version of ourselves. So the one thing I want to do first is tell people how they can get in contact with you and your programming and things that you're doing, so that way they can tap in and plug into you if they're looking for that help and that support.
Okay, so I do have a website that kind of splinters off into everything that I have going on. So that's probably the easiest way. It's www.manifestingmiraclemakers with an S, because there's many of us.com. So from there, you can contact me or see a lot of the things that I have going on.
Awesome. Manifesting Miracle Makers with an S dot com.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. And that will be in the description when the show airs, that way you'll be able to get in contact with Cassandra and learn more about what it is that she is doing. Okay. So I also, before we go, I always ask my guests at the end of every show, how are you living in this now? What is it that you're doing to create your peaceful existence in this space that we're living in right now?
Oh, that's a perfect question for today, because on Thursdays, it's Thankful Thursday in the M3 world. And so every Thursday, I talk about gratitude. And I begin my days, and I try most days to end them. I bookend my days with gratitude. So before I lift my head off the pillow, I think about at least three things that I'm grateful for. And at the end of the day, as I'm getting ready to go to bed, when I'm getting into that special space right before between conscious and not so conscious, I think about the three best things that have happened that day, or three things that come up when I think about gratitude. And that helps me to maintain that positivity and that growth mindset. It keeps my eyes affixed on the blessings that I have, and not so much the things that hadn't gone the way that I had expected. And so I find gratitude as a powerful tool to keep you up and to keep you uplifted and keep you focused on the things that are most important.
Awesome. Awesome. I absolutely love that, because everybody's way of coping is different. So it's always nice to hear others' ideas and things that they're doing, because that can just help to, ignite the flame in each one of us to figure out, what's the best way that I can create that peaceful existence for myself. So thank you so much for sharing that.
You're
Okay, and
welcome.
then finally, any parting words that you want to give our listeners with regards to manifesting, our miracle makers and being that better person that we can be?
My final thought, and what's resonating in my head right now as we're talking, is right back to the voice within wins. If you will go within and tap in and actually hear the things that you're saying about yourself to yourself, you can change your life for the better almost in an instance. That negative messaging will hold you back. It'll tell you don't deserve. It'll tell you you're not capable. And so there are things that you should be doing that you won't even try, because that belief system is in the way. It's standing right between you and your dreams. So if you will do that, I call that the work of our lifetime. If we will do that inner work, everything else will get out of our way once we get out of our own way. So learn to tap into that inner voice and do the work to reframe any negative messaging that's holding you back. Turn your inner critic into your inner advocate.
Okay, inner critic to inner advocate. I love that. No better words have been spoken. And hopefully, that is something that we can put in our toolbox and take with us as we go along this journey that we call life. So, again, thank you so much for being with me, Cassandra. I appreciate you sharing this space with me. And again, like I said, you are officially part of the How Now family. So, you are always welcome back anytime. Come on back, tell us what's going on in your
I would
now.
love that.
And we'll be happy to support you and cheer you on along the way. Okay. And that
Absolutely.
will do it. Again,
Thank
our
you.
pleasure. Our pleasure, darling. Okay. And that will do it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until I see you all the next time, we say peace.